U.S. President Donald Trump pauses enforcement of an anti-bribery law.
It sounds so good, but it's so bad. It hurts the country, and many, many deals are unable to be made because of it.
What exactly is this law? Why was it passed by Congress? And what does it do?
It makes it a crime for any American, American citizen, an American national, any American company, so a company that's based or headquartered in the United States, or any company, regardless of where it happens to be based, that's listed on a U.S. stock exchange, like the NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange. It makes it a crime for any of those entities or people to offer or to actually give a bribe to a foreign official.
Today is Tuesday, February 11th, and this is The Issue from VOA.
Hi, everyone. I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
It means that if an American goes over to a foreign country and starts doing business over there legally, legitimately, or otherwise, it's almost a guaranteed investigation, indictment, and nobody wants to do business with the Americans because of it. Nobody wants to do business.
President Trump, while signing an executive order Monday directing the U.S. Justice Department to pause prosecutions of Americans accused of bribing foreign government officials while trying to win business.
We can deal with China. They can do whatever they want. We can deal with Russia. We can deal with anybody. And we have a normal life. You deal with America, the FBI gets over there. They don't investigate death and murders on the street in New York and Los Angeles. They go over and investigate a business guy trying to do business. So it made it very, very hard from a practical standpoint to make deals. They want to deal with the Americans, but they don't want to be under investigation every time they speak to American, every time an American makes a phone call to somebody in a different country. It's a disaster.
More on the details of the president's executive order now with Reuters correspondent Zachary Goldman.
An executive order he signed Monday directs his attorney general, Pam Bondi, to halt enforcement of the 1977 Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, or FCPA, which made it a crime for companies operating in the U.S. to bribe foreign officials. Trump claimed the anti-corruption measure made it harder for U.S. businesses to cut deals overseas with less scrupulous partners.
Nobody wants to do business. They say, look, we can deal with China. They can do whatever they want. We can deal with Russia. We can deal with anybody. And we have a normal life. You deal with America, the FBI gets over there.
The law has become a guiding force for how American businesses operate overseas. An anti-corruption watchdog, Transparency International, said the FCPA made the United States a leader in addressing global corruption. In a statement, the executive director of Transparency International said Trump's order, quote, diminishes and could pave the way for completely eliminating the crown jewel in the U.S.'s fight against global corruption. Trump claimed, without citing evidence, that overzealous law enforcement was frightening off possible business.
Nobody wants to do business because they don't want to feel like every time they pick up a phone, they're going to jail. So we'll sign this, and it takes courage to sign it because you only get bad publicity when you sign it.
A White House fact sheet said Trump's directive calls for, quote, revised reasonable enforcement guidelines from the Justice Department that will not hamper American firms competing abroad.
Reuters correspondent Zachary Goldman.
Joining us now for insights into this law is Scott Greytak, an anti-corruption attorney and the director of advocacy with Transparency International U.S.
Thank you so much for being able to join us and explain all of this to us.
My pleasure.
Talk about the law itself, big picture us. How did it come about?
So the FCPA was adopted by the United States in the wake of the Watergate scandals, actually. What had happened is when Congress and the DOJ and the FBI began investigating how President Nixon's campaign staff were able to move so much secret money into his campaign, literally suitcases of cash, undisclosed, to benefit his presidential campaign, they looked into some of the corporations that had been providing that secret money. And what they found in their books was that many of these same companies had also been giving bribes or other illicit payments to foreign countries all around the world in order to secure business. So, you know, when the Watergate scandal really kicked in the door on how these companies had, you know, been spending secret money, not just to corrupt our own presidency, But for the governments of American allies and other countries, developing nations in competition with the Soviet Union and so forth, that really necessitated that the United States have a strong response to that. And so the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act is that response. It's actually the first law of its kind in the world. Now there are dozens of countries that have similar laws on the books, but the United States was the first one to do that in 1977.
So what I'm hearing is the law prohibits companies that operate in the United States from bribing foreign officials. And apparently, I think that's what I'm hearing you're saying. So over the years, have there been many multinational firms that have come under scrutiny because of the law?
Oh, yeah. So the FCPA, right, it makes it a crime for any American, an American citizen, an American national, any American company, so a company that's based or headquartered in the United States, or any company, regardless of where it happens to be based, that's listed on a U.S. stock exchange, like the NASDAQ or the New York Stock Exchange. It makes it a crime for any of those entities or people to offer or to actually give a bribe to a foreign official. So it's very sweeping. And yeah, over the years, I mean, once the law was immediately passed, literally hundreds of corporations came forward to then the Carter administration, which offered basically an amnesty program that said, hey, this law is going to be on the books. We won't go after you for bad behavior that you did in the past if you come forward and tell us about it. And as a result, hundreds of companies came forward and said, okay, here's where we are. We want to be in compliance with the law. You know, practically speaking, the law sat dormant after that for a good amount of time. And it wasn't until the early 2000s, I'd say in the wake of Enron and a massive FCPA case involving the Siemens Corporation, and then the Iraqi food for oil scandal in the early 2000s, that really jump-started the most recent era of FCPA enforcement.
So the argument that he's making now is that it puts U.S. companies at a disadvantage because companies from foreign nations are able to bribe. This is what I understand. I think I have this right. Other companies from other countries can bribe foreign officials. So as a result, the playing field is not level.
Yeah, so a couple things about that. First, any country you can think of, it's a crime for their public officials to ask for or to accept a bribe. Just like in the United States, you can't be a member of Congress or, you know, a member of the executive branch and solicit or accept a bribe. Now, whether or not those other countries enforce those laws is a different question, and there's a mixed record on that. But as far as American companies and what they're able and not able to do, let's be clear, there are dozens of countries and the companies that operate in those countries around the world that have these exact same rules. So every couple of years, my organization puts out a report called Exporting Corruption, where they look at how leading export countries deal with their equivalent of the FCPA, whether they go after and hold accountable companies in their countries that try to bribe or do bribe foreign officials. Now, the United States has always had an outstanding enforcement record, and that does distinguish it a bit. But this is on the books and against the law in major developed countries. So it's not as if there have been British and French and German companies that routinely go abroad and win business by providing bribes. The nature of the FCPA kind of makes that difficult on its own, right? Because a lot of those companies are listed on U.S. stock exchange. They are also subject to the FCPA. Now, does China and Russian state-owned companies, do they use bribery strategically to win contracts, to grow their influence, especially in parts of the developing world? Absolutely. But it does the United States and certainly U.S. business no good to meet those players where they are at a low ethical point. We don't want to race to the bottom to win American products and business. We want the brand of Made in America to represent merit, that our companies were chosen, their products and services were chosen because they were the best that were available, not just because they outbid the Chinese or the Russian in bribing a foreign official. Also, it does no one any good, especially the victims of that corruption in that country, the people who have to then live under the officials who have been corrupted by these businesses, for the United States and its businesses to come in and disrupt their systems of governance and to be essentially exporting corruption into those communities. We're talking about a lot of places that are extremely fragile democracies or emerging democracies. And for the long-term business interest, businesses want stability, certainty, predictability. And if you start having an arms race for bribery, then who knows in what direction that official may turn the next week, the next month. And that level of perceived or real corruption in a country, we know what happens when that reaches a boiling point. That's when you have serious reform. That's when you have revolutions. That's when you have mass civil unrest and protests and administration changes. And so no American business, no business anywhere wants a more difficult, politically volatile business landscape. And that's what can happen when you take the reins off bribery.
Doesn't it sort of also drive the price up? I was reading one story where there was an instance that I think the Justice Department was in fact prosecuting, where they had bribed the country for, it was a military contract, and then turned around and apparently had to charge the Department of Defense more money to cover the bribe.
Yeah, if right now the FCPA, frankly, is protecting American businesses because it broadcasts to foreign governments, we are not allowed to pay bribes. And if we pay a bribe, we are going to be in trouble back home through our own home government. And so it basically takes the United States businesses out of those situations. Not only is that personally dangerous, if a U.S. company and its business representatives are negotiating with a foreign government and they start extorting them for bribe payments, but yes, they may presume or believe, if they've really done their homework, that because it's an American company, they can extract more money from them. And so where they may say to a Chinese company, here's one price to the American now, all of a sudden you're in an illicit bidding war against your business competitors. And that is only going to drive up your prices, and it's only going to endanger your employees.
A White House fact sheet says the law is currently, as Scott alluded to, making American companies less competitive and that it's actually harming them. And the directive, according to this White House fact sheet, calls for not necessarily getting rid of it, but pausing it to revise, quote, revised reasonable enforcement guidelines that won't hamper American firms competing abroad. What would you expect? Is it possible that this can be improved?
I think it's challenging to find daylight amongst unethical behavior or illegal behavior, right? Imagine if another country said that business people and their companies were able to come to the United States and start bribing our members of Congress or bribing our state and local government officials in order to win business. I don't know how you draw a line of you can bribe people in this part of the world, or you can do a little bit of bribery, but not a substantial amount. It's challenging for me to think of a clear line when you're already talking about what is illegal and unethical behavior. We're anxious to see what may come on the other end of this pause. We certainly want the pause to be lifted as soon as possible, but I have not come across any criteria when you're talking about what is universally recognized to be criminal behavior to begin with.
And this is, again, a law passed by Congress, so the executive branch can't get rid of it. They can choose not to enforce. They can rewrite their rules of engagement for enforcement, but it's still on the books unless Congress or the courts either Congress rescinds it or the courts say it's not constitutional, right?
That's right. And the courts have reviewed the FCPA. It's very clearly constitutional. There's no legal issues with it. Congress has supported the FCPA. You know, it would have turned 50 years old in a couple of years during Trump's second term. So this is a law that's been on the books for a long time, very large bipartisan bodies of support for it, supported by the business community. The only, you know, risk here is that, yes, the DOJ and, you know, President Trump obviously sets enforcement priorities. And that level of fluctuation, I think of it as how the federal government has regulated marijuana for the past 20 or so years. There has been a policy that it will pursue certain marijuana-related cases, but not others. And I think, as anybody in the United States can tell you, that's led to a lot of ambiguity. That's led to a lot of confusion. And add this to it, the FCPA has a statute of limitations, meaning that when President Trump leaves office in 4 years, the next administration could come in and say, we're going to enforce the FCPA again. And they could look back to cases that took place right now, to situations that take place during this pause, and be able to bring criminal charges for companies that violated the law, because the statute of limitations is longer than President Trump's term. So we're talking about a tremendous amount of uncertainty. If you are a business that has a compliance department where you are looking at what to do now, I find it highly unlikely that you're going to get rid of that, you know, compliance guidelines or the systems you have in place, because this could swing back, or at the very longest, once President Trump is no longer in office, the next administration could have it swing back. And you could then be putting your employees in an awful lot of liability if you didn't have those safeguards in place the whole time.
Well, Scott, thank you so much for the explanation, the information.
My pleasure. Good to chat with you.
That was Scott Greytack, an anti-corruption attorney and the director of advocacy with Transparency International U.S.
You've been listening to The Issue from the Voice of America.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen.
For news 24/7, check out our website, voanews.com.
In Washington, I'm Lori London.
And I'm Scott Walterman.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.